Welcome to History Lost in Time, from one enthusiast to others. And welcome to episode 22 of this podcast. Yes, podcast. That means no pictures, no videos, just audio. It seems I have to mention that from time to time, especially when I see in my YouTube statistics how many people stop the episode within the first minute. A problem that doesn't exist on podcasting platforms.
Why this topic today?
In this episode, I will talk about radio broadcasting in the Third Reich during the war with the focus on other countries. I will discuss what kind of radio broadcasting policy was implemented in German-occupied territory and end with a short analysis. In the next radio history episode, I will talk exclusively about German language content from the Allies USA, Great Britain and Soviet Union.
Political background and commentary.
No agenda from my side.
The sources.
Radio unterm Hakenkreuz von 1933 bis 45, die Geschichte des Rundfunks in Deutschland. Translation: Radio under the Swastika from 1933 to 1945, The History of Radio Broadcasting in Germany. Published by Hans Sarkovic, Production Hessischer Rundfunk 2004. To anyone who wishes to know more, I really recommend this 2-CD box. Rundfunk in Deutschland, herausgegeben von Hans Bausch, Band 2, Ansgar Diller. Rundfunkpolitik im Dritten Reich. Translation: Radio Broadcasting in Germany, published by Hans Bausch, Volume 2 by Ansgar Diller. Radio Broadcasting Politics in the Third Reich. Published by Deutscher Taschenbuchverlag München, 1980. Probably the standard work when it comes to radio broadcasting in this era. Geheime Sender, translation Secret Radio Stations, published by Hans Sarkovic, Production Hessischer Rundfunk and Deutsches Rundfunkarchiv, 2016. To anyone who wishes to know a lot more, I really recommend this 8-CD box. It includes a lot of original audio snippets from this time. The Radio Politics book of Ansgar Diller discusses four German-occupied territories in detail: Czechoslovakia, Poland, Norway, and the Netherlands. However, what we get from these four territories can easily be transferred to all others, since the policy was fairly similar, only the timelines were different. After Czechoslovakia had been destroyed in two steps, autumn 1938 and March 1939, there were three zones on the territory of this no longer existing state: the Sudetenland, which was now part of Germany and therefore listened to the normal Reich radio broadcasts, Slovakia, which was an autonomous state, and the Protectorate of Bohemia and Moravia, which seemed to be autonomous but actually wasn't. While there was still some sort of Czech government, it had to report to a German occupation authority and lost more and more power over time. In Slovakia, there was an independent broadcasting service, and part of that was a small German hour program with a length of 45 to 75 minutes per day. The Czechs kept their own autonomous radio service, although it was now censored and under German authority. There was still Czech language content, but the target audience of that radio service was the German population of the Protectorate, not the Czechs. Most of the program was taken from the normal Greater German Broadcasting. Both the occupation authority and the Wehrmacht heavily influenced the content of the broadcasts. As a result of that, the Czechs tuned in foreign radio stations, despite that being illegal. In order to improve reception, the Czechs installed lots of high antennas, which allowed them to receive both Radio Moscow and the Czech service of the BBC. The Germans only started to act against that by the middle of 1941. This was triggered by the widespread use of propaganda slogans that originated from these radio stations, but also by the transfer of SS-Obergruppenführer Reinhard Heydrich to the Protectorate. He was a lot more brutal than the actual head of the occupation authority, Konstantin von Neurath, and he was responsible for several crimes against humanity. As collective punishment, Heydrich confiscated 15,000 radios in January of 1942. However, he didn't confiscate all radio devices in the protectorate. In March 1943, the Germans ordered all shortwave components to be removed from all radio devices. People who disobeyed this risked prison and the death penalty. Of course, the Czechs disobeyed this order. After the successful assassination of Heydrich in 1942, there was no together of Germans and Czechs anymore, only confrontation. In 1942, the autonomous Czech radio service was completely taken over by the Germans. In the last days of war, in early May 1945, Czech resistance fighters managed to occupy the broadcasting houses in Prague and Pilsen and used them to broadcast their own messages. German fire could only briefly interrupt these broadcasts, but not shut them down completely. In Poland, things were rather different. The German occupation authority there was a lot more restrictive. During the invasion of Poland, mobile German radio transmitters had used Polish frequencies to cause chaos. This was later done again during other campaigns. Initially, there was Polish language content in these German broadcasts. But in October 1939, all radios were confiscated within the entire general government, which formed the rest of Poland that wasn't directly annexed by Germany. Those regions that were annexed, like Western Prussia and the Warta region, were unaffected by this. The cultural life of the Poles ended completely. All they had left were loudspeaker announcements and news leaflets. Exceptions were only made for Germans and some non-Polish Slavs like Ukrainians and Gorals. And in case you don't know who the Gorals are, I admit I had to look them up myself, these are Western Slavs that live in the border region of Poland, Slovakia and the Czech Republic. Obviously, not all Poles gave up their radios. Listening to foreign radio stations was widespread, but extremely dangerous. Owning a radio, as well as listening to foreign radio stations, led to very severe punishments up to and including the death penalty. The German occupation authority in Poland was particularly brutal and harsh. Starting in 1940, there were a few exception rulings for Poles. According to these, Poles could request an exception ruling so that they could legally own a radio, however, barely anyone applied. The radio broadcasting policy in the general government caused frequent clashes between the propaganda ministry led by Joseph Goebbels and the German occupation authority led by Hans Frank. In the end, Goebbels always succeeded in these confrontations. Frank had originally hoped to run his own radio station. Following the defeat at Stalingrad, there was a slight change in policy. The Germans tried to integrate the Poles a bit more when it came to radio services. For once, the occupation authority and the propaganda ministry worked together. However, both the Nazi Party and the SS sabotaged these efforts. However, due to the extreme brutality of the German occupation, the Poles weren't interested in minor concessions anyway. Instead, the Poles listened to Radio Moscow and the Polish service of the BBC. Both of them broadcast Polish language content regularly. By autumn 1944, England broadcast 11 Polish language programs per day, while the Soviets managed to broadcast 28 Polish language programs per day. After the occupation of Norway in spring 1940, there wasn't a general confiscation of all radio devices initially. However, right from the start, BBC broadcasts for Norway caused problems for the German occupation force. In August 1941, the civil state of emergency was declared, and in parts of Norway, all radio devices were confiscated. Exceptions were only made for Germans and Norwegian collaborators. In principle, Norway had its own radio service that broadcast two programs during the occupation, a Norwegian one for the Norwegian population and a German one for the Wehrmacht garrison. In the beginning, the Norwegian program was dominating, however by 1943 it had been marginalized, with the majority of the program being German. But most Norwegians listened to the Norwegian service of the BBC anyway, so it didn't really matter. One of the reasons for the violation of Dutch neutrality was alleged violations of neutrality by the Dutch radio services. Since the Netherlands were neutral, Germany needed some kind of justification for the invasion. To be honest, the Netherlands didn't really broadcast pro-German content, but that's not a reason to invade. However, Goebbels mentioned this himself publicly, so it became part of the official reason. During the invasion, most of the Dutch radio infrastructure, for example the radio station Hilversum, was captured intact. Therefore, the Dutch radio services were able to continue transmitting without much of an interruption. However, programming was reduced to music and news censored by the Germans. Just like in Norway, the German occupation authority included a department controlling and managing the radio services. However, the German-approved radio content was refused by the Dutch. Instead, they listened to the content of the Dutch government in exile that was broadcast by the BBC. German propaganda campaigns basically had no effect. Punishments didn't make a difference either. After the Dutch population had partially been on strike in 1943, the SS insisted on a general confiscation of radio devices. Exceptions were only made for Germans and Dutch collaborators.
Finishing words.
Similar actions were taken in other occupied territories like France, Belgium, Luxembourg, Serbia, Greece, and the Soviet Union. In the end, German propaganda campaigns proved to be unsuccessful. German radio content was considered to be occupation radio and refused. And no matter how brutal the Germans were, the local population listened to foreign radio stations, especially the BBC and Radio Moscow.
Thank you for your interest.